Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So what will sports look like if, say, there's, I don't know, no fans in the stands? I got an idea what they could do to make things interesting. We'll talk about that. And Fred Willard, remember the great comedian, Best in Show, Anchorman, all of that? He passed away. We've got some thoughts on him. My good friend and longtime columnist of the Tampa Times, Tom Jones, now of the Poynter Institute, is going to join us on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. All right, Tommy, you're back again 2 days in a row.
Yeah, man.
I want to keep this going. I want to see if we can have a streak. We're streaking.
Yes.
We're streaking.
streaking. Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun, and I appreciate you being with us. I want to talk about – let's start with – you want to start with Fred Willard or you want to go –
Yeah, you know, I want to tell a Fred Willard story because we
– Yeah, let's
do
that.
Show, I was on your show yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to talk. But Fred Willard, great comedian.
Oh, funny.
Actor, yeah. Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman, Anchorman – all that was just one of my favorite all-time comedians. But I want to tell a story. So years ago, he was in a movie called A Mighty Wind. And he used to talk about he played this character who was like who had a TV show. And his catchphrase and the name of the TV show was, "What happened?" And he would go around and say, "What happened? What happened?" So years ago, there was a TV reporter who covered the Montreal Canadiens. Like, he was like sort of the local, like Dick Crippen type, if people remember Dick Crippen around here.
Oh, I got some Dick Crippen stories.
Yeah, you do. But, you know, nice guy, super nice guy. And this guy looked a lot like Fred Willard. I never thought of it, but the guy who told
kind of
me,
like Fred Willard, like an Anchorman Fred Willard?
Yeah,
kind of
like
thing?
A, yeah, just like a, you know, he just reminded you of,
like
of Fred Willard.
Ted Knight type?
Yeah, Fred, you know, kind of along those lines. So what happened was I really didn't. It didn't hit me, but Paul Kennedy from Sun Sports came up to me one time and he said, "Hey, man," he goes, "doesn't that guy remind you of Fred Willard?" And I said, "Yeah, actually he does." And Paul Kennedy, who's like great with imitations, says, "Yeah, he looks just like," he goes, "I keep waiting for him to come up and go, what happened?" And it would crack me up every time. So we're covering the 2004 Stanley Cup playoffs. And the Lightning are playing the Montreal Canadiens in the second round. And we see this guy. He's in Tampa. He's in Montreal. We see him at every practice, every morning skate. And so the Lightning go up. They're up 2-0, and they're in Montreal for game 3. And this was the game where the Lightning was down late. Score was like 2-1, I think. Late in the game, Vinny LeCavalier scores this incredible goal, stick between his legs.
Between his legs. I remember that.
Yeah, with like maybe, I want to say like 17 seconds left or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Ties the game. So then they go into overtime, and like maybe a minute 20 into overtime, something like that. Brad Richards scores, and the Lightning wins in overtime. And the Canadians, what a gut punch for the Canadians, because here they were 17 seconds
back
away.
Back in the series. Or back
from,
in the
yeah,
series.
From being down 2-1 in the series to now they're down 3-0. And they're, you know, basically their season's
over.
At that point. Right. Mm-hmm. So we go into the press conference, and we're talking to players and talking to the coaches. While we're waiting for the Montreal coach to come in, and it's – I want to say it was Claude Julien, but it might have been Michel Therrien, whichever one it was. And it's somber. You know how it is. Like all the Montreal media is there.
The season is almost
yeah,
over.
Yeah, people are trying to be respectful because this is just, like I said, a gut punch of a loss. Just a kick in the teeth. And so this guy comes, the coach comes walking in, sits at the press conference table. And all of a sudden this Fred Willard looking dude comes running in last second, like huffing and puffing because he just got done talking to players or whatever. And so everybody waits for a second, and then the PR guy goes, "All right, questions for coach?" And the Fred Willard guy next to me, he's standing right next to me, and he goes, "Just one question, coach." And just then,
no.
Paul Kennedy, who's sitting behind me, whispers in my ear, "What happened?" I almost pissed myself. I was laughing so hard. And it's like being in church. Like, you don't want to.
You can't be that guy.
You can't laugh, but the more you can't laugh, the funnier it
the
gets.
The more you laugh. Yeah.
Right. But it would have been the perfect question. Like, coach, what happened?
What happened?
And
he looked like Fred Willard.
Every time I saw Fred Willard, I would think of Paul Kennedy. And Paul Kennedy was like, it was so dead perfect. Like, just whispered in my ear. I was the only one that could hear it. What happened? So to this day, the other day, Fred Willard passed away.
Yeah,
and I got a text from Paul Kennedy.
No, you
said,
didn't.
What happened? And he sent me YouTube clip. Of that particular scene. If you get a chance, go on YouTube and look it. But it was so that's my favorite. I actually met Fred Willard once. I was covering the Stanley Cup Finals, like 2001, I want to say, whichever year, one of the years that New Jersey was in the finals. And me and a bunch of hockey writers, between games of the Stanley Cup Finals on an off day, went into Greenwich Village in New York, and there's a comedy club there, and Fred Willard was just there watching. And so I saw him outside. I didn't really talk. I just said hi to him, and there were a bunch of people gathered around him. He was signing autographs and stuff. But
you didn't go up to him and say, What happened?
Yeah. But one of my favorites. So if you ever see Paul Kennedy, ask Paul Kennedy, what happened?
That's a great one. What was your best? I mean, Fred, was it Best in Show? Was it Anchorman?
You know, I thought Waiting for Guffman was really funny in that. Yeah. So I both those Christopher Guest movies, like that, Best in Show, Mighty Wind. I just thought he was 86 too.
Yeah.
He also was on a show like a bazillion years ago that was called Fernwood Tonight. I don't even remember that.
Tonight. Yeah, they mentioned that in his obit.
With Martin Mull was like, and it was like a fake. It was like a fake talk show.
Was Martin Mull ever funny?
You know, I thought he was funny on that show, but I bet if we went back and watched,
because he's the one guy like I never quite laughed at.
You know, ready? Are we going to do controversy? Is that what this is about now?
We don't have to do controversy.
No,
but
I'm
just
gonna
saying,
do controversy
like,
right now.
No, we don't have to, because if you want to, we can. I'm gonna give you an idea of some show. I know where you're going with this.
I got two, right? Okay. One's gonna be super controversial. The first one is Big Bang Theory. Never laughed. Never laughed out loud at the Big Bang Theory.
It's funny.
So here's the funny thing. I'm gonna lose total credibility at this point.
Yeah, you
so
are.
One day my wife and I have this running gag where I'll turn on the TV and Big Bang Theory's on and I'll watch it. And I'll legitimately watch it for 5 minutes and never crack a smile.
No, never crack, though, right?
Like I have stone face the whole way through. Like I'm not even like trying not to laugh. It's just like
not a tickle, nothing.
Not nothing. So I was home by myself one day and I'm like, well, maybe I think other shows are funny, but I don't really laugh. But I'm watching Big, so I'm like, I'm gonna just flip around and find something's gotta be on. I love Seinfeld. I don't mind Friends. Mm-hmm. I like Cheers when it was on. All of a sudden I came across, here's Golden Girls. The Golden Girls. I bet you I won't laugh at this either.
Can't be funny.
And I looked at, it was 30 seconds and I laughed out loud. Out loud I laughed at something at the Golden. So I'm like, so Big Bang Theory, nothing. Here's the other, this is going to be the real controversial one. And it's going to be sad because the guy's passed away. You know who I thought was overrated? Like overrated. Robin Williams. Not funny.
Come on.
Like when he did this, like when he came out and he did this sort of like riffing where everybody was just like dying all over the place, cracking up and falling all over like Johnny Carson.
You didn't get it?
I was like, this isn't funny.
But yeah, see, he had, do you remember Jonathan Winters? There was a comedian
was
named
mentor,
Jonathan,
right?
Which was his mentor. And Jonathan Winters, he sort of stole his whole shtick where he would go in and out of characters.
Right.
All at the same time.
Right.
But it was genius because he was so good at his imitations and his improv. Tiring.
So
like you have to invest a little energy to follow it. You know, it's a little bit like watching Hamilton. You're going to have to pay attention. You're going to be in the room where they made it or whatever.
Right.
But Robin Williams I thought was genius. Now, the great
I love
thing
them
about,
in movies. Like I
was like, going to say, the great thing about Robin Williams was he had depth of acting. Like he could be
Good
a very
Hunting.
Serious actor. Yeah,
Good Will Hunting. I'd watch that. He was in Awakenings. Yeah. I love that movie. He was in like everything he did, like movie wise.
Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah, I love that one.
Okay, I'm on time with that. Yeah, good. Yeah. But like just when he and it, like some of his like bits too, like when he came out and did stand up, fine. But when he started, was like oh, and just started doing like the. Applause meter with his arm and stuff. I'm like, it's not funny. I don't get this.
Really?
Well, it was, and I almost think it was like, even if I thought it was funny, I was annoyed that everybody thought it was the funniest thing. You ever work somewhere?
Right? Yeah, there's an overreaction
where
people
when the boss walks through and the boss makes a joke, and all of a sudden it's like, ha, ha. It's
and like, you know they're just full of
and it's just like, come on,
stuff.
It's not, it's not that funny, you know. Yeah. So that's the way I felt about Robin Williams. Like I almost got, I was more like, nope, not funny, because everybody thought, oh, he's just a genius, he's so funny. I'm sure I'm in the minority on this, but
See, you zig when everybody else zags. That's why.
But I'm not a contrarian. I'm not spring loaded for negativity like the old Fred in the old days, Temple Terrace Fred. No, it just was one of those like. Because I like other shows that other people like. Like I said, I like Seinfeld. I like Cheers. I like.
Is there a show? And I'm glad we got off this topic because it's a good one for you. Because I'd heard this about you before. we've done shows like this. So, is there a show that only you think is funny and most people don't? Like, is this weird sort of dark humor thing that you got going that others don't see?
I'll have to think hard about that. Like my favorite all-time comedy ever, I think, would be Seinfeld. So, but a lot of people like Seinfeld. So I don't think there's any movie or show out there that, I'm not one who's just a contrarian. Just like, oh, actually, Cocktail was a very good movie. Like, I'm not that guy. You know,
Elizabeth Shue.
Well, come to think of it,
that or Leaving Las Vegas. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, boy, you can only watch that so many times though before you're just. Depressed.
I always want to have a drink. I don't know why.
Yeah. But it's, no, I don't think there's any. Now, how about you? Let me turn it around on you. Is there any show, celebrity that people love and you think, don't really get it? Don't really think that's funny? Don't really think.
There's some actors that I think are better than other people think, that I think they're better than people think they are. I'll give you one. Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
I think Brad Pitt's a really good actor. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe not Laurence Olivier, but I mean, I think in a way, because he's a pretty boy and all that, you know?
Right. But I always felt that way about Robert Redford, as far as overrated.
You thought Robert Redford was overrated?
I thought he was the same guy in every movie ever.
Like, but he was a hell of a good guy, wasn't he? He was a movie star.
He was
you're
a movie star. He is a movie star.
That's what the old time movie stars were like,
right.
Though.
Yeah, you're right. But you know? like Bob Woodward, like he played Bob Woodward in All the President's Men, was the same guy that he played in Electric Horseman, was the same guy that he played in 3 Days at a Condor, which is the same guy was the Sting. Like it just felt like he was the same guy. He was Robert Redford in every movie. You know?
In The Natural, he was the same guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Roy Hobbs, and Bob Woodward. Same guy.
If Bob Woodward could swing from
if
the
Bob
left
Woodward
side,
could
like that,
swing a bat, or Roy Hobbs could follow a public records request, they would be the same.
There
was
some stakeouts. There were some stakeouts in that movie too.
Exactly.
Speaking of going back to the day before,
right? No doubt about it.
I don't think. Yeah, Robert Redford overrated.
See, now I'll go with you on to Brad Pitt. I'll tell you a guy who I think is just a phenomenal actor.
I know who you're going to say.
Leonardo DiCaprio. I think he's tremendous.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I think he's an outstanding actor.
Got a lot of range, too, when you think about him from Django to, you know.
From Django to The Revenant to, Departed.
I saw that movie again the other day, The Revenant. But that's a hard movie to watch.
That is a hard movie to watch.
Even when you know what's coming.
One and out. That's it for me.
Really? Oh, you didn't see it more than once?
No, I saw it. No, I don't. I mean, I've seen it and I'll watch a scene or two. But.
Let me tell you where you don't watch that movie. For those of you who haven't seen it, and I don't know how we got on movies, this is fantastic. This is fantastic for the podcast.
There's no sports to talk about, really.
So. No, but people will enjoy this. Here's where you don't watch The Revenant if you haven't seen it. On an airplane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because one, you're nervous that everybody else is seeing you watch this movie.
Right.
And two, it's for whatever reason I get more physically ill. I got almost reaching for the sanitary bag. When that bear showed up, and started doing what that bear did, what bears do. I couldn't take it, and I knew it was a movie, and I still couldn't take it. That's a hard movie to watch.
I'm a big DiCaprio guy.
He's really good. Yeah, he's good.
But I can't think of any movies where, or like I said, I can't think of what you asked that that I think is great that nobody else really.
That nobody else. I can't think of one either. I mean, I don't know. I tend to skew towards the older movies, but you know, the one thing I will say, here's what I'll tell you, and this might surprise people or not. I don't care. Never got Star Wars. Don't get it. Not interested.
I understand. I
don't
like them.
Get it at all. Don't get it.
I'll give you another guy. Thinking about going back to the Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio, sort of the good looking guy, yeah. So good looking that you
leading
forget
man.
He's a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you another guy that I really like. Like,
Tom
I don't
Cruise.
Say he's a tremendous actor, although I think he's better than he's given credit for. And pretty much everything he's in, I'll watch. Tom Cruise.
I knew you were going to say that.
You know, as, yeah. What he does off the camera, whatever, man. But
yeah, a little weird.
It's his business, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, like, if I'll sit down, I'll watch Mission Impossible, any of those. I'll watch Jack Reacher movies. I'll watch Top Gun. All the, you know, he went through a string there when you think about it. Between
well, Top Gun made him a superstar, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, and Risky Business and all that. But you're right. But like, he had a string there where he was in movies with big time actors. And
Dustin Hoffman.
Like, he was with Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man. He's with Jack Nicholson.
And he got ripped off in that, by the way. The guy that carried that movie was Tom Cruise. And Dustin Hoffman did the same thing throughout the entire movie
and who won the Oscar?
And he had the easiest of all roles.
And like I said, but he was also he's in A Color of Money with Paul Newman, who won an Oscar. He was in A Few Good Men. I don't know if Nicholson won the Oscar, but I mean, he stole that movie with that scene at the end. But playing off of Cruise, like Cruise was in, he's been in a lot of movies with great actors, and the other actors did. I say that too about like, if you go back, I'll give you a movie that you and I both love. Training Day. We both love Training Day.
Oh, love Training Day.
You know who, I'm telling you what, and we talk about
Denzel's always Denzel, right?
You know what? Ethan Hawke is so good in that movie.
He's a really good actor, yeah.
He's unbelievably good. And look, Denzel won the Oscar, deserved it all day. But I'm telling you, like, Ethan Hawke was so good in that movie. And I don't know that Denzel wins the Oscar without the performance that Ethan Hawke gave on the other side of him. So another guy.
I got a little
underrated,
girl.
There's an underrated guy.
Yeah, Ethan Hawke or Denzel?
Yeah, no. Well, then no, Denzel. I mean, he's up near.
Okay, Training Day, really good. Best Denzel movie. Which one do you think it was?
You know, it's funny you mentioned Denzel because like He Got Game was on the other night, and I'm not a huge fan of that movie, but I watched it for a little while. I think Training Day. Yeah,
Training
what I liked
Day?
About him in Training Day was like he's a bad guy. Like it's
oh,
he's not
Alonzo.
Yeah, Lonzo's not a good guy.
Man, he's not a good guy, man.
No.
Nothing that we say about
like
him.
They say the movie, like, I hate that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he's, but yeah, that by far.
That's his best character, I think, of all the roles that he's played. I'll give you one. Have you seen Fences?
Yeah. Not all the way through. I've seen it often.
Oh, you got to watch it.
Yeah.
It's really good. And
it doesn't
got
play
a
good guy in that either, right? Or not
no.
really?
No. Well, I mean,
like,
no,
not
he's
a bad,
not.
A, like, yes, but no, right? Like,
he's a guy kind of caught in his circumstances. He's a hard guy. He got a little caught up in his circumstances, you know. He was a tough father, you know. He's a hard guy to embrace. He's very difficult to love in that movie, and that's the whole point of it. But that was one for sure.
And we should probably talk, I mean, any actresses that you look at and go like, eh. Like, I'm a big Meryl Streep. Like, whatever Meryl Streep's in, I'm down. I'm down for that. But
she's pretty good.
Yeah. So, I don't even know how we got on the topic.
I don't either.
Movies, but
I'm actresses. I'm not.
I'm watching more movies now, though, than ever, right? Without the sports.
I think most
watching.
People are. I think a lot of people are on Netflix. A lot of people are rediscovering series, too, you know, like TV series. I'm that guy that didn't watch anything.
Yeah.
So literally when I retire, I've got 20 years of television that I can watch that I don't, The Wire.
I got stuck on The Wire. I started watching, I was into it, and then for whatever reason I stopped. I
what was the one that everybody watched? Yeah, the dude that sold drugs.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah. I don't.
My son's got, a big Sons of Anarchy guy.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that.
Sopranos.
I did watch Sopranos in real time.
Right.
Sopranos I get. But Yeah, I mean, there's a, I got a bunch of series that I could watch.
Now, are you one of those guys, Rick? Like, I've always asked this question. It's the famous question everybody gets. Like, every, yeah. especially when Powerball's up to like $500 million.
And what would you do?
Yeah. So they're saying, well, I'd have to work. I couldn't just sit around and watch TV all day.
Me?
I got news for you. I could sit around and watch TV all day.
We've established that it's Judge Judy for you.
Judge Judy, Law and Order. I could watch Law and Order. If there was a station,
special crimes unit or just unit,
law no order? Regular Law and Order, no SVU, like law, yeah. like the regular
New
Jack
Orleans?
McCoy, Lenny Briscoe, Law and Order, like
no New Orleans, no.
No, that's CSI. All that.
Oh, that's then CSI.
Law and Order, just straight Law and Order.
See, I confuse these
all day
really?
Long. Yeah, we'll get that.
Angie
Harmon,
Angie Harmon, Law and Order.
Angie Harmon, Carrie Lowe, Jill Henderson, whatever. Oh yeah, any of them. Yeah, I could. I don't have to work. I could. Now I would probably. Just so I don't feel bad about myself. With, like,
would you weigh like 300 pounds and just be?
No, I would still like get like walk a little bit or do something. I would like to think I would do something like, you know, Meals on Wheels or some, you know, some sort of charity. But the rest of the time, yeah, I'm watching TV. I could watch TV.
You sell it. That's awesome. Yeah. I'll come watch it with you. I as long as it's on the beach. That's all I ask, because I've lived my whole life in Florida and never lived on the beach, but occasionally good friends of ours let us have their condo for whatever reason. They like Valerie more than me, so that's not unusual.
Well, Mark Topkin lives on a beach now. So
I know. I said to Mark Topkin.
Haven't been invited yet, by the way. You have
no,
my invitation.
Seen some great pictures, though.
Yeah,
some
every day
outstanding
I see a picture.
Sunsets. Great sunsets. I said, Mark, here's the thing. You're making us all look bad, because that's the home you get to after you retire.
Right.
You can't be working and living there. That's like totally uncool, totally unfair, in my opinion.
All I know is, you know what's better than seeing pictures of a sunset on the beach? Being on the beach
being
and watching
the
sunset.
Yeah. Well, that's what we did this past weekend when I took a breath between Tom Brady and the rest of the
so
world.
So you didn't stay home? I actually stayed home, and I actually watched NASCAR. I'm not a
I saw
huge
it.
NASCAR
I was at the
guy.
Condo, but I did see it.
So I thought of all sports...
It's the best.
It's the best
without
to watch
fans.
Without. If we're going to watch sports without fans,
mm-hmm.
that's as close as you're going to get to normal without fans.
Because, and Steve pointed this out the other night, the soundtrack of NASCAR is not the fans, it's the cars.
Right. You never really hear. I mean, there are moments where either at the end or if there's a big crash or you, like, or if there's a big pass or something,
yeah.
where it's almost to me, and I may be wrong about this, that the TV networks like crank up the sound of the
just so you can hear them.
Just
yeah.
so you can hear them. But I think, yeah. And I'm sure if you're there, it's a completely different feeling.
Oh, sure.
But on TV, yeah, Steve's right. I mean, when you hear, when you're just hearing the engines roar by, and the other, mm-hmm. the only other sound too is maybe you hear like the pits, or you hear, they'll plug into the crew chief talking to the driver or whatever.
That's right.
But I think the rest of the sports, now I watched the golf a little bit. That was different.
Yeah.
Hearing
yeah.
no sound, but it wasn't. I mean, golf is generally a quiet game anyway. For like half the time you're watching, you'll hear a roar if a guy makes a great shot. But
yeah.
I just think, Rick, when we get to if we get to the point, I think that's what's going to happen initially. We're going to have sports with no fans. I think it's going to be weird watching basketball or hockey or baseball or football. Maybe I don't know. Maybe yeah, even football. Because even if you
football,
watch
football, though, you understand that the networks have said or predicted accurately that they will pipe in artificial sound of fans during the football game, to where as you watch it on TV, if you're not taking, you know, shots of the empty seats, you'll hear reaction as if a good play, bad play, you'll hear fan reaction, because that's the way we are used to hearing Joe
Buck. It's like a laugh track. It'd be like a laugh track watching.
Exactly like a laugh track, yeah. except what they used to do in Minnesota when the Vikings played back in the Metrodome.
Exactly.
Pipe in fan noise.
I'm okay.
That's what it's gonna,
I think I'd be okay with that. I think
I'll
maybe,
tell you why it's going to work fine. I mean, there'll be some glitches, obviously, but like, do you ever play Madden? Have you ever played Madden recently?
Yeah, sure.
If you get on Madden and it's Charles Davis, and I don't know who else is the PA, the play-by-play guy, but... You know, they have reactions based on what's happening in front of them and what the announcers say about the play in front of them. And the crowd is secondary to that, sort of. And so if it's a bad play, you hear the crowd. If it's a good play, you hear the crowd do something else. And I'm telling you, because that game, the simulation is so good, it's hard to know you're not watching a real game.
Right.
But the sound of it, sounds just like a football game, you know, because you have big time announcers, network announcers, and the crowd reaction. And that's, you know, now obviously for the players, it's a whole different deal because they don't get that, right? They're not piping in the sound to them. But I think for viewers just watching at home on TV with sort of ambient sound, yeah, it's going to sound the same. It's not going to look, obviously, at empty stadiums. Although I would, here's my.
See, I'm more worried about the sound than I am about what it looks like.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. But I, again, they're going to fake the sound.
Which They'll is fine. Like sound. I said, I think you can fool, especially when it comes to football, I think you could fool your way without fans. Like baseball, you'll notice it a little bit more because there will be, you know, because you see the fans more when you're watching a baseball game.
Yeah, probably.
Home but runs, foul balls, all that, you know.
I think what they should do, and somebody's proposed this in some league, and forgive me, I don't know where, but I think it's a great idea. In lieu of fans, if they say no fans for this sport or that, they should have cardboard cutouts of everybody who would normally be there. No, seriously. You purchase a cardboard cutout, and it sits wherever your seat would be, and the camera can scan around and see you going crazy or sitting on your hands or whatever your pose was, and then you donate that money to charity or whatever, and people make money, but at least you have a stadium full of sort of flat Stanleys, if you will. They're just right. They're just cutout yeah. people.
Right.
I like the idea. It's I not like, quite the mummies in the restaurant. Like, have you seen the restaurant in some country that has mannequins in place of people? Like, no. You can't sit at this table, so we put mannequins there?
Interesting.
That'd be a little
no,
creepy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's very odd.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer on this, Rick, but I just yeah. I still have a hard time imagining this, how this is all going to work. And I know they're still figuring it out. Everybody's trying to come up with a plan. We're mm-hmm. talking about states reopening, and I'm not saying yeah. they shouldn't reopen. I'm just saying that I'm envisioning, and this is where people are going to accuse me of being the Debbie Downer, but I think you have to consider like worst case scenarios. I still don't know. Somebody needs to answer this question for me. So we're going to play. On Sunday, the Bucks are playing the Saints.
Yep.
And Mike Evans tests positive for coronavirus.
Yep. Yeah, that's too
now
bad.
Now what?
He's out. Mike Evans is out.
And what about the other 40? You
know, nope. They're playing? Yeah. Why wouldn't they play? I mean, we're not going to sit them down for 2 weeks. We're not doing that. I mean, we're going to test.
That's what I'm worried
we're going to
yeah.
test. And when they come back positive, then they're out. And so forth and so on. Here's what I think is going to happen. And look, I'm not a scientist or Nostradamus like you. And God help us all if this thing turns again and we have hospitals overrun like we did, you know, potentially right. in New York City and other places. I mean, as we're taping this podcast, more than 90,000 people are dead of coronavirus. And
in this country,
we are in May. We're in the right. middle to the end of May. We're not to June yet in this country alone. So there's no way to describe how devastating that is and the loss of that is. But failing certain hospitals being threatened to be overrun or, you know, the pandemic just spiking up to the point like New York City or Chicago or wherever the areas are, I think that we're going to learn to live with this as if we're hopeful of, you know, something will come, that the vaccine will come that will make us whole again and prevent deaths or slow the death rate or whatever, much like the flu shots do. But it's possible, and I think they're going to come up with the vaccine, but it's possible it's one of those things we have to learn to live with somehow, some way, that it'll change right. our lives. It'll never be normal the way we remember normal. But come 15, 16 weeks from now, if there's one league that will play with fans, I think it's going to be the NFL.
With fans, you say?
With fans. I think it'll be the NFL. And I think what they'll say is, yeah, we can do the best we can to try to keep some separation. But let's be honest, the common areas in a stadium, the bathroom, the concession stands, et cetera, we don't have the ability to set. We can put little stickers on the floor or whatever. But there's too many people. If they all decide to, you know, go to the bathroom at the end of the first quarter, there's right. no way we can get people apart. So it's going to be on you. When you go to a restaurant, you take the risk when you go to the restaurant that the waiter doesn't have COVID-19. If you're immune compromised, you know what? You probably shouldn't have gone to the restaurant.
It's such little things, Rick, that you don't even think twice about before, like grabbing a menu at a restaurant, you know, touching the menu. Like, the menus aren't clean. Or if I think about going to a ball game, grabbing a hot dog and I need ketchup. Yeah. So I'm going to go over and I'm going to touch that ketchup.
You're not going to do that. Nope, you're not going to do that.
100 people have already touched.
Nope, that's not happening anymore. And the restaurants have, by the way, are thinking about you thinking about menus. And that's why the restaurant that my wife's involved in marketing at times has decided to go with menus that are disposable as opposed to the kind that in plastic.
I think it's
going to
be one of two things. Yeah, it's either going to be a disposable menu or you're going to look at it on your phone. You know, here's our website. Go to our phone and our menus are there. Now, like I said, Rick, I'm not advocating or I'm not saying like we need to shut everything down or we need to open everything up. I don't know enough about it. Nobody knows enough about it. I'm just saying I'm having a hard time getting past that question of worst case scenarios. Like what if, and if there's one team that just gets overrun, like the Tampa, when you wake up on the first week of the season and 30 Buccaneers have tested positive for coronavirus, we're not going to shut the whole league down because one of 32 teams can't play. And, you know, James Franklin from Penn State took some flack immediately for the idea of saying, look, if there are conferences in college football that have two teams that can't play but 10 teams that can, we're not going to shut people are going to want to play.
I agree with him.
Crushed for that because people said, oh, excuse us, James, while it was actually a pretty funny line by Steve Politti from the NewJersey.com columnist up there. He said, excuse us, James, while you step over the dead bodies to make another trip to the Citrus Bowl. But at the same time, I think James Franklin, like when we had a day to think about it, well, he's kind of right. We're going to shut everything down because...
No, he's exactly right. He's exactly right.
The Big Ten's going to, even if it involved Penn State, like, wait a minute.
Wouldn't care.
Penn State and Rutgers can't play. So that means everybody else, Ohio State, Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, like, they're not going to play because Penn State can't. Like, that's, there's too much money involved.
Too much money involved. And the thing is, the NCAA doesn't really control it.
That's true.
Everything's controlled by the conferences. You know, the NCAA may be the governing body, but in general, conferences make their own schedules. Conferences make their own rules. And I'm here to tell you that if Missouri can't play this year, for whatever reason, they're not part of
Alabama's
the SEC.
Not going to get shut down because of
No. Alabama's playing. Georgia's playing. Different conferences. Texas will be playing. And even on top of that, if for some reason there's not enough teams, say, in the Big 12 and the SEC, you might see a merger for a year. You might see 10 teams that, you know, play some kind of schedule where they each play each other twice or whatever or once and call it a day, and it might be a combination for one season only. You know, and of course the biggest thing is which schools are going to go back. Are they going to have students? Are they going to have guys and girls in on campus? Are they going to be taking online courses? Is that considered back, right?
Right.
Notre Dame has this idea. We talked about it the other night where they might bring their students back in early August, thinking that they could be done with the semester before the holidays at Thanksgiving, and that's when perhaps a new fall spike would or winter spike would occur.
Right, because
the flu season comes back, or the COVID-19 season comes back, and they want to complete the semester, you know, while it's relatively lower than it has been. But none of us know. God forbid we find ourselves in a similar or situation when this thing started and have to go, you know, back inside and all that. But I think it's just going to be generally, you know, protect the vulnerable, the elderly, whatever. And as far as sports goes, you know, take your own responsibility for your choices. If you're going to go to the game, you go to the game. You know that you
can catch
something.
And I've said all along, Rick, that I don't think we should crank sports back up until we have, like, basically the way life was pre-coronavirus, which is we're not going to test anybody. This is just life now. We're back to – and that may take a year before we actually have a vaccine and testing and all that, you know. But I worry about this idea of we're going to test people. We're going to keep people away. We're going to test the players. And I think we've always gone on the assumption that everybody's going to test negative. But I just, like I said, I keep wanting to know, like, what if, like, 10 people test positive? Then what are we going to do? Here's the other question I have. It's a little bit different, Rick. Like, I really hope there's a football season. Not because football is my favorite sport, because it's not. Hockey and baseball are my favorite sports. But I really hope there's a football season. I really hope there's a baseball season. Oddly enough, like, I'm not sure I have the appetite to resume a hockey or basketball season. And I'm sure I'm in a minority, and there are people who want it. But it's like, we've had this season, then we shut it down. Are we really, now we're going to start it back up, and we're going to have a playoff? Like, I'm kind of over that now. Like, I don't, it doesn't feel like it's the same season. And I don't know that I'll feel the same about the champion as I would if it had just been a normal season. Do you get that sense at all? I mean, do you want to see the Lightning play again? I know Lightning fans do.
Yeah, I do. I mean, there's been a gap, and I know what you're saying, and you could say, well, you know, there's not a continuation, therefore it's sort of like a second season. It's not really the Stanley Cup. There's loss of momentum and all that. But you know what? This is a year unlike any other, and next year we'll roll into that, and maybe they start the season later, you know, but play right through. I mean, I just think these are rare times, and they're big businesses. You know, I think sometimes we forget that this is big business as much as it's sports. It's the business of sports. And all those people that make their living around the periphery of it, which is good for the economy, good for, you know, people at Amalie Arena, good for everybody. And so I do want them to come back, and I don't care what form it takes. And I don't think it's going to slight the championship or do some kind of, you know, asterisk or anything like that. It's competition. They're the best in the world. They have to deal with adversity in their lives, and just like anybody else in their jobs, Lord knows we're dealing with it as journalists. It's not ideal. I haven't seen a player or anybody face to face, you know, from more than 100 yards in quite a while.
Let me ask you another question about that. Okay, let's say that we get to the NFL season and they decide, okay, we're going to start the season, but it's going to be without fans. Maybe it's not in every stadium. Maybe they centralize something. Or maybe, let's even say that it is in a certain stadium. Or like the first week, New Orleans, like the Bucs are at New Orleans, right? Will you be there? Will journalists
I don't know.
Be at those
I games? Hope so. I hope
or
so.
Or will it just be broadcasters? Like no
I don't know. I don't make the rules. I hope so. I would think that would be possible. Baseball is going to come back to spring training, and it wasn't automatic, but I think they're willing. And now it might be a smaller force of us. You know, it could be that the AP, the Athletic, ESPN, and maybe whoever the hometown paper, if there is one, might be represented and not by multiple people. So it could be limited, but I would hope so. You know, I think it'll be weird to be at a stadium and then when the game is over, and they're talking about this in baseball, that, you know, you'll go and maybe watch these guys practice and then you'll talk to Kevin Cash on a Zoom from the same place, which is weird to me. And it makes doing our jobs harder because we're not going to be – I don't think we'll ever see a locker room again. I just don't. Just like I don't think you're ever going to, you know, not take your shoes off if you're going through, you know, the non-TSA line at an airport. I think those days are over, and I think it's going to be harder to formulate relationships and you know, have access and all those things. But you know what? Social media changed the game too.
Sure.
And, you know, you got to evolve, adapt and you know, in advance and evolve. And, you know, so I want the sport to come back first and foremost because it's entertainment. And then, you know, you hope that as somebody who's part of that and covers it, you can have access. You hope you can go to the games, but you know what? You might not ever be able to go to the games. I don't know. It's definitely going to be different, and it may not be forever, but for this season, until there's a vaccine, until we feel safe in big groups again, you know, this is our new normal. And I think you got to take each day and try to make the best of it and, you know, find new ways to tell stories and be challenged in other ways by the adversity and the cream will rise, you know. And, you know, there, a small example of this, I'm sure, because I'm being told, that there are people, you know, at One Buck Place, for example, that think, hey, you know, Tom Brady's here and, you know, it's not really cool that people are taking pictures of him working out with his teammates from a distance when they weren't invited to the practice.
Right.
No, they're thinking that, right?
Sure.
Where normally we'd be at One Buck Place, invited to sit there and watch OTAs, talk to the players afterwards, and go about our jobs, right? But guess what? This is the new normal. We don't have that access. They don't have that access with each other and the coaches. So we're all trying to figure this out, right? And I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm trying to inform readers, you know?
Right.
Is it what I want to do? No. But am I going to let another news organization have that piece when the word is out there that these guys are at Berkeley Prep? You know? And I'm just going to sit back and write their story?
Right.
So, you know, I just think, you know.
Hey, it's not like you're knocking on a guy's door, you know, or taking, you know.
No. But everything is different. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, my point is, you asked, you know, do I want to see that? No, I don't. But we got to prepare for it. It's possible it could go that way,
right?
You know, so it's weird, man. It's a new world, really strange. But
I just, like I said, I'm hopeful. I'm excited about it. I don't know that. I don't know next time there's going to be fans in a stance. It's baby steps. You're right. I mean,
yeah,
it's hard. Let's
see if the players can feel safe first and foremost,
right?
Because they're risking some things too.
Well, they are, but I'll tell you, the thing about players too, though, Rick, is there a couple of things. One, you only have so many years to make the money that you're making if you're not.
That's true. That's true.
You know, so if you're a guy like, and the thing is, it's not like time stops. You know, like I said, it's not that, you know.
You're not going to stop aging just because you're not playing a game.
That's one less year you're going to play, maybe, possibly. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another year where somebody else is getting drafted, because we could sit there and talk about, yeah, the Tom Brady's of the world and the Mike Evans of the world, all of them are going to be fine. But when you're talking about, you know, the 40th guy on the team, or you're talking about the 25th guy on your roster.
Yeah.
Those are guy like he might be making really good money, $3 million, but he might be 2 years of being out of the league. And I tell you what, in 2 years, he's not going to be making $3 million.
Right.
You know, so. I mean, a lot of these guys, and I mentioned it, I don't know if it was, I think it was in yesterday's podcast with you, we were talking about LeBron James. Like, there's legacies at stake for some of these guys. Like, guys want,
yeah.
Look, if I'm Steven Stamkos, for example,
mm-hmm.
and I'm back and I'm healthy again, like, I want to play. Why? Because I have a chance to do something I've never done, which is win a cup, which is going to affect my legacy.
Yes.
Which could affect me going into the Hall of Fame. Like,
no doubt.
These are things that, you know, it's not about the money at this point for Steven Stamkos. It's like he wants to play again. So, I'm taking a risk, but maybe the greater risk is we don't play and I don't get, you know, the one thing that I need to check off on my resume to get into the Hall of Fame or whatever, you know, so.
And everything you said there still, I mean, you have to balance that with real life, which is what is my health? What is the health of others around me going to be? I think all those questions have to be answered.
Right.
I wouldn't be comfortable just saying, yeah, I'm good, let's go. Whatever happens, happens.
How much of a say should players have in this, Rick? Because, I'm watching sometimes. I watch LeBron James, and he's pushing to come back. And I'm like, and there's a part of me that thinks, like, yeah, this is about your, like, you care about you and your legacy. It's your health. I get it.
Right.
You know, but. I mean, do we care what the athletes say? I'm particularly the ones
to
come back.
Well, they're the performers, and they can't do it alone. I mean, they have unions. All these leagues have unions, and so it's not, you know, a dictatorship, although guys like LeBron James certainly have a louder voice than others since they're in many ways the face of basketball. But I still think they have to collectively bargain this. I think they have to collectively come to an agreement, and not everybody's going to have that same viewpoint. There's going to be guys, you know, the last CBA with the NFL was extremely close vote. There was, you know, probably 58% thought it was a horrible deal.
Right.
But it still went through, and that's what being part of a union is. It's a democracy. It's, you know, it was a singular democracy. It wasn't like a percentage thing, but that's what that group has to decide. And if they decide it collectively, then, you know, you got two choices. You can honor your union's wishes, or you can not play at all.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. When I said
not comfortable, then don't.
Yeah, what I meant when I said how much a voice should players have, I was mostly talking about the guys who are pushing to come back, not the guys who are saying, yeah, I don't feel comfortable. I understand that. I understand not wanting to play because you're worried and you don't want to.
Well, I mean, even the guys pushing to come back have to, they got maybe personal reasons or legacy at stake and things like that, but you still have to convince it's for the greater good. It can't be about one guy's legacy. It can't be about one team's legacy. You know what I'm saying? It has to be about the sport and what's best for the sport and what's best for the participants. And are the participants safe in general?
Right.
And not every guy has to make or girl has to make that decision whether they want to compete or not under the circumstances. And they're perfectly within their rights to say, I don't feel safe. I'm not going to play.
But, you know, it's funny when you think about, and Rick, you know, guys, if I told, and I'm just going to pick a guy.
Yeah.
If I told Steven Stamkos, you can win a Stanley Cup, but I'm going to shave 5 years off the end of your life at the end. Would you do
off
it?
Off of your life?
Ronnie Lott cut a finger off to keep playing.
Let me put this in terms.
There's a difference between a life and a finger. But I guess my overall greater point, Rick, is that look at Jordan when he talked to, if you remember.
Would his life been what it would have been if he hadn't?
No, but remember very early on in The Last Dance, he had broken his foot.
Right.
And people said, if you come back too early, there's a 10% chance that you could break it again, and you might never play again.
Right.
And his attitude was, yeah, but there's a 90% chance that that won't happen, and I want to make the playoffs, and I want to win.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of guys are willing to sacrifice personal health, personal safety. Like, I think there are a lot of guys in all sports, and I'm not saying they're wrong, who would say, you know what, I'm young. You know, there's a little bit of invincibility.
You feel that way when you're that age. And I think the only
I'm
thing
healthy,
I can really...
I'm in great shape. If I get it, I'm not going to die from it. I'll be careful. I'm willing to risk that in order to for a chance to win a championship.
I'll tell you what the reverse of that is. And I got to meet this guy, Dwight Clark, who made the catch, of course, for the San Francisco 49ers. And Dwight, when he was probably about 2 years... He'd just been diagnosed with ALS. We were in Montana. And we were contemplating writing a statement about it for him, and I talked to him about it, and that, you know, he was fairly sure that his career in football contributed to the ALS, and there's a higher percentage of NFL players, people who play football, that contract this disease for whatever reason, right? They think there might be some relationship. He believed that. He couldn't prove it scientifically necessarily, but he believed it. But he had had this unbelievable life, and just a great life. And, you know, and so he was talking sort of out loud, and he goes, you know, if I knew today that football would have caused me, you know, to get ALS and cut my life short, would I do it all again? He goes, well, maybe I win 2 Super Bowls and have 10 more years of living. Mm-hmm. In other words, he was willing to trade it off a little bit, but he wasn't willing to just take it away.
Yeah,
which I thought that's pretty telling of a guy, you know, who has been through all of it and is looking back, you know, from the other side. That those championships meant something, you know. You didn't want to give it all away.
Right. This is not slightly different. This is much different, but it's sort of the same idea that when you look at some of these guys like Alex Rodriguez, who took steroids, and you're like, why would you do that? You were such a great player. And it's like, at the end of the day, you look back and like, how much money did he make? Which he didn't have to give back.
Nope.
He's on ESPN on Sunday nights.
He came through it okay.
He's one of the spokesmen for the game. He's married to J-Lo or Dayton J, whatever. And like, what? You're a good looking dude. You got, you know, you're making a lot of money.
Things worked
on
out
Shark
okay,
Tank.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. Was it worth it? Maybe. You know, I mean, his legacy took hit in there. Some people will never like him, but
some people wouldn't like him even if he hadn't taken steroids. Yeah, so, right?
I'm not advocating using steroids, but I think it's my overall
sure
point.
Sure sounds like you are.
Well, no, it's my overall point of like what athletes are willing to do. And look, if you told me like I could take a pill right now and be a, you know, a superstar and, you know, athlete or in my profession and make millions of dollars, it might take a year off my life or whatever, or it's bad for my health. I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I'm not going to sit there and judge these guys. But I mean, I would like to think that I wouldn't take steroids. I wouldn't cheat.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, where was the cost? Where was, you know, where was the downside ultimately, other than somebody, a few, you're not in the Hall of Fame. Big deal.
Yeah. No. You know? It's an interesting concept, and we're probably not going to solve it on this podcast. But,
probably not.
But it is a question that I think guys will be wrestling with, and girls and whoever is trying to come back from
And
sports.
I think ultimately, like, the players are, I think they're going to want to play. And I'm not saying they're wrong, because it's their money, and it's their legacies, and it's their risk, you know. So I'm not sitting there telling them they're wrong, but I'm just, I would be surprised if we see too many athletes who are saying, you know what, I don't want to take the risk, you know.
Yeah, I think Stevie Nicks said it the best. Players always love you when they're playing. Yeah. Little Fleetwood Mac, in case, speaking of Mick Fleetwood. Tommy, you've been great, man. 2 days of Tom Jones. I could do this, I don't know, for about 5 years on the radio if you'd like.
There's plenty of movies and plenty of actors we haven't, actresses we haven't talked about yet. So
oh, we've
come
only
back.
We've only begun. We've only just begun. This could turn into the movie show. Who knows? But, yeah, great talking to you. What can we look forward to on pointer.org?
Coronavirus. I'm sure that's coronavirus, Trump, sleepy Chuck Todd, whatever. So, no, lots to see on pointer.org, pointer.org. Sign up for the newsletter.
Sounds great. Thanks, Tommy. We'll
Thanks,
talk
Rick.
To you. Wow, 2 days of Tom Jones and his positivity. My head's starting to hurt. We need a break from him. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do a mailbag tomorrow. You still have time. That's right, to get your questions in. They'll be answered 100% correctly. I promise you do that by sending them to us on Twitter at SportsDayTB, at SportsDayTB. You can reach me on Twitter at NFL Stroud, or my email account is rstroud@tampabay.com. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.